Welcome to Canadian Defense Focus from CDR Radio, produced by Canadian Defense Review Magazine. This series of podcasts features interviews with leaders and experts in the defense industry, as well as reports and profiles on the very latest in defense technology.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the CDR Radio Podcast. I'm James Careless, Ottawa correspondent with Canadian Defense Review, Canada's leading defense magazine. These are heady times in the Canadian defense industry. Increased federal spending is revitalizing the Canadian Armed Forces and enhancing its ability to defend Canada. Calian Group is a longtime CAF partner and a global provider of innovative defense solutions. These solutions include military training and simulation, health services, advanced manufacturing, secure communication and connectivity, digital transformation, and cybersecurity. Chris Pogue is Calian's President of Defense and Space. He is joining us to talk about the impact of increased federal spending on the Canadian defense industry and Calian's role in making our nation safer. Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. Canada and the world are clearly at an inflection point for defense. We're seeing renewed commitments for spending, modernization, and alliance readiness. Calian has emerged as one of the few large Canadian-owned defense companies operating at a global scale. How would you describe Calian's role at this moment, both in terms of Canada's abilities and among our allies?
Yeah, thanks. I'll pick up on a couple of the themes in your question. The term sort of emerged. I always sort of like the fact that it's a overnight success, 40 years plus years in the making. And so the intriguing thing about Calian, I think, is for 40 plus years, it has sort of been quietly delivering. And I think has got a significant amount of attention of late, because as you point out, it's important for Canada to have Canadian-based, Canadian-owned, Canadian IP developed that will support Canadian soldiers, sailors, airmen, and airwomen, and help our nation build capacity to react to an unforeseeable and unknowable future. I think Calian is really well positioned to do that by virtue of some of the things you mentioned, the various range of things that Calian has been involved in, and not least of which is more than 25 years training our land forces in command and control environments and how they would operate in the complex environments that they are asked to operate in.
Now, given the recent federal budget announcements and this once-in-a-generation opportunity to create a truly sovereign Canadian defense capability and industry, what unique opportunities do you see for Canadian companies and for Calian in particular?
I think there's a lot. I think there's a couple of features that are always useful to think about when you think of Canadian and the defense sector in Canada. It is a sector that has been dominated by small and medium-sized businesses. Over 85% of the organizations that deliver to Canada today are small businesses. Many of those small businesses are in someone else's supply chain. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not necessarily where the innovation and the IP will come from, you know, the intellectual property to deliver. I think this unique moment creates the capacity for Canada to take an investment attitude towards defense and realize that the dollars they spend there can build Canadian capacity, Canadian jobs, Canadian innovation. That innovation can get into the field with our soldiers, our sailors, airmen and airwomen, and help them carry out their mission. And build that capacity potentially to support dual-use technologies in other parts of the Canadian economy. So in some respects, when we think about the percent of GDP that we're going to invest in defense, we should also think about as a percent of growing our GDP by virtue of how that money is spent. There is a robust Canadian innovation ecosystem across the country from sea to sea to sea that can be delivered to this moment. Calian is in a unique spot by virtue of, as you mentioned earlier, the 40-plus years of building a wide-ranging defense capability, both defense and space, that can help those companies and help Canada build that long, sustainable, enduring capacity.
Now, you've come up with something new called Calian Ventures. What is it, and how could it help the Canadian Armed Forces modernize?
Yeah, so Calian Ventures is really exciting for us. You know, I always use ventures all in capitals. Simply to sort of separate it from the traditional idea of a venture capital fund. Yes, the idea of being able to bring new capital into the defense ecosystem is a powerful component. But there's much more that the small to medium-sized business sector needs in Canada than just money. They actually need manufacturing capacity, potentially engineering support, access to larger and larger programs. So Calian Ventures was designed to fill a lot of gaps, not singularly the capital gap, but also to fill the gap in terms of where would a great Canadian IP idea get manufactured at scale to be able to be delivered to the forces. I can imagine well a decision maker in the armed forces liking a piece of Canadian IP, but being concerned that it would be sustainable enough or that it could be manufactured at scale or that there's the engineering support to de-risk it. Calian Ventures is designed to do all of that and to build that sustainable scale so that the military can then say, yes, we will select that Canadian capacity. We will deploy that. The other thing it does is it allows Calian and our partner companies, when we're building Canadian solutions for the programs that Canada wants to run, to bring more and more Canadian content value to those programs. Not as an afterthought, but because that IP has been de-risked, it's been pre-integrated, it's a low-risk solution that brings new capability. And the final dimension is we have to recognize that anything we deploy today, in 5 years, we'll need to constantly almost renew it to be able to ensure that it's up to, in terms of the tech pace that's going to change. Calian Ventures can enable all of that to happen. The last dimension, sort of the venture dimension, is I've had a pleasure of having a lot of interactions with Canadian organizations that see this investment in defense as something they would like to participate in. And so that can bring new capital and new public-private partnerships and new models to defense that we historically have not looked at. If we are truly going to build national capacity, we're going to have to build it differently than we have historically.
Okay, so walk me through what the Ventures project does in terms of the areas you're covering. For instance, command and control interoperability. What is it planning to do there?
So what we've done as a starting point is we've leveraged capability that Calian has built in serving the defense customer for the past 40 years. So Calian has, for the past 25 years or more actually, been doing training for command and control training for the land forces. Over 250,000 soldiers and sailors, or soldiers rather, have been trained through that system. In the process of delivering that training, particularly around collective training, how multiple organizations would operate together, we've developed applications, Viki is one, and the audio distribution system, a number of different software and development tools that allow us to effectively train with multiple units with multiple units. Those same tools, those same environments, that same software can be used to de-risk technologies that we want to now deploy in the forces. So just imagine that the exact same environment that that decision maker was training on yesterday is the same environment he or she is operating with tomorrow. That commonality means that the training effect is much more effective. Our ability to use some of the software applications developed by Calian allows us to de-risk new technologies we want to bring them in. So that's why command and control was a logical pick. Secondarily, I think every nation has to have sovereign command and control. When we deploy young Canadians into the battle, we want to know that we are able to do effective command and control, interoperable with our allies, but effectively command and control our own people when they're deployed. So that was a logical reason for command and control, both technical base, historical capacity built in Calian, and a logical need for Canada. And that's driven the themes across Ventures.
What about autonomous systems? Where do you see Ventures working with that?
So I take the same idea of sovereign command and control, and I scale it up and say, at some point, we know that autonomous systems are going to dominate the battlefield, not just air systems, but autonomous systems in general, underwater, surface waters, land, and in the air for sure. The ability to actually bring that information together, manage it through an effective command and control system, know where those assets are, take the sensors and the information they collect and contain, distribute that back down to that same command and control environment means that we have broad-scale, persistent situational awareness. And decision makers need that to be able to effectively make decisions. So autonomous systems was a logical place that you'd naturally go from a sovereign command and control aspect. The other dimension that it really helped with was that Calian has been in space, one of the first companies in space in 1965. If you think about the early space days in Canada, one of those companies was the Space Engineering Division, which was a spinoff from the University of Saskatchewan. That facility is now a Calian facility since the early 90s, and it delivers space capability. That capability now takes the highest ground we can have from space, integrates that with the information you collect from multiple types of autonomous systems and sensors into a sovereign command and control system, and now you have the unique backbone, if you will, to build sovereign Canadian capability.
Now, Space Aid is a big area now for defense. Where do you see Kallian Ventures, you know, playing other roles within space and the Canadian Armed Forces, especially as we're trying to gear up with so much that is happening in this new theater?
Yeah. I mean, I think Kallian Space has historically dealt with what I will call sort of the space plumbing. So the antenna systems and the ground systems, the software designed to optimize the way space payloads in space are effectively used, the way to optimize the signals so that your communication systems are more effective, and a number of products that are developed by Kallian that actually measure the signals and ensure that the signal quality and the signal consistency is there. So I call it that space plumbing. I'm sure my space geniuses in the company would rather me use a slightly different term, but that's all the plumbing. Our ability now to take the innovation in Canada in developing new types of space segments, so payloads that would be in space on orbit. There's a number of companies across Canada developing very unique sensors, hyperspectral sensors or greenhouse gas emission sensors. These are Canadian companies that have grown out of this sort of Canadian ecosystem sponsored principally by the Canadian Space Agency. Those sensors now become part of a payload in a constellation. We can help enable those sensors to get the data to ground, where it can then be stacked in a way that it can be used to develop entirely new intelligence products. Those products would be used by defense for sure in that same paradigm we talked about. But so too would they be used to develop intelligence products for environmental monitoring, for a wide range of areas, wildfire monitoring and wildfire management. So all of that is possible when you connect the thing that's in space with the decision maker on the ground. And Kallian does that today, and I think can continue to expand that. Ventures creates a mechanism by which those small space segment or payload developers can be enabled to get to that market. That's a tough market to get into. It's an expensive market to get into. If we can find a way to bring new sources of capital to help them get to space and create a pathway by which their data gets to a decision maker, those companies will thrive.
Now, what about bringing together the players? I mean, we've got government, we've got defense companies, we've got SMEs, we got academia. How do you foresee ventures helping to bring them together so that they're working together and we're getting to solutions faster?
Yeah, I think, you know, 20 years in the defense industry and 20 years personal experience in defense, what I've always found is you can bring people together around a shared purpose and a shared mission. So if we can create an alignment around a shared mission, multiple organizations share that same goal and they will open up and they will share and they will do things to achieve that outcome. So I look at Arctic sovereignty and I look at the Arctic as a key place where we can bring focus around that and we can bring industry together. That means Kallian needs to be open. We need to not put superimpose on those small businesses the things that make it uncomfortable for them to operate. We need them to be able to own their IP. They have to be able to own their intellectual property to be effective and to grow and to be sustainable. What we need to do is provide capacity, manufacturing, engineering support, maybe additional IP that Kallian's developed that can help them accelerate. That kind of a relationship allows them to become a long-term sustainable partner. And that's the lens I look at this. I'll go back to an earlier comment. I talked about someone's supply chain. I consciously think that can be a trap for companies, especially small companies. I want them to be partners. And I think through a partnership, you create that trust. You create that organization where you're focused on the same things. I think then you can bring everything together. And that's what we need to do. The challenges that we're going to face in the next couple of decades are not going to be solved alone. They're only going to be solved by organizations that willingly, openly collaborate.
Now, Ventures isn't the only sort of collaboration program that's out there. So how do you foresee that it can work with the existing programs rather than just compete with them and, you know, divide up the funding pot?
Yeah, we do not want to repeat or mimic something that's already been done really well by someone else. So we anticipate partnering with the accelerators and the incubators. That is not the goal we want to play. That's not a place where we have the depth or the expertise to play. Where we want to play is that connecting that end defense user's challenge, if only he or she could, that question they would like to ask, with innovation that exists in the Canadian small and medium-sized business and larger business ecosystems to solve that mission. And so those other organizations that are out there that are doing this, we hope to partner with all of them because I think that's the best way to do this. And we're already in dialogue with some of the incubators and accelerators because what they do would help one of those small companies be ready for what we want to do. Remember, what we want to do is really help them be able to create scale, to manufacture, to help engineering design, to do all the things that will help them be that long-term sustainable business. That is not the role of an incubator. The incubator needs to do its role and do its role very well. So I don't think it's about dividing the pie as much as finding ways to build a bigger pie.
Now, looking ahead, where do you hope that Kellyan and Kellyan Ventures can take the defense industry in the next 12 to 18 months? And what are you most excited about in terms of, you know, the potential results?
Yeah, I think two thoughts come to mind, James. As we look at what I believe will be the unfolding of the way Canada will look at its investment in defense, it'll be in sort of segments of buying capability, building capability, and partnering with nations to build capability. And that's a logical way for us to build it, to build up defense capacity. We shouldn't build all of it necessarily in Canada. I think Kellyan Ventures creates a pathway by which when we buy something from some other nation that's really important to the way we're going to defend, NORAD modernization is a good example, that Kellyan Ventures can be a partner in that to ensure that the Canadian companies that can be part of that solution in terms of in-service support are ready to be able to have the capacity to deliver long-term in-service support. Because we know anything we buy, you're going to want to have continuous capability sustainment. You can't just buy it and then expect to rebuy it again 30 years from now. So that's a key place where we can play. In the build, clearly, I believe there's places where Canadian industry and Kellyan Ventures can build Canadian capability, Canadian IP that delivers asymmetric value to the battlefield, a greater impact than the cost of the impact. And autonomous systems is a really good example to think about that. As we look at autonomous systems dropping lower and lower in cost and getting more and more capability, we see a very cost-effective way to operate. And whether that's for defense systems or whether that's for environmental monitoring, any number of things that we talked about, that's certainly a piece where I think Kellyan Ventures and Canada can deliver. When we get to partner, now I'm looking at how two nations might actually co-develop something into the future. Kellyan Ventures creates a platform by which that co-development could ensure that Canadian IP can be part of that solution. So across that spectrum of build, or rather buy, build, and partner, I think Kellyan Ventures can fit. Longer term, and long term for me probably is 18 to 24 months. So your question is perfect. Longer term, I believe we'll be looking at a place where Kellyan Ventures has a number of Canadian IP that's now being used by our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and airwomen. It's not just a granted program. It's not just a funded program. They're actually deployed in the field. And when that starts to happen all the time, then we'll see it'll amplify itself and we'll see more and more of that. And 10 years from now, we'll look back and we will see an incredible level of Canadian innovation capacity. Some of it will be deployed with our forces. Some of it will be deployed in dual-use technologies. Some of it will be deployed in places that we can't imagine yet. But all of that capacity will mean we will have the innovation muscle to deal with the challenge that we don't know what it will look like 10 years from now. I come back to Ukraine. I happened to be last week at the NATO Innovation Forum, and the Deputy Minister of Industry, Defense Industry for Ukraine was one of the speakers, and she was an amazing speaker. But she mentioned two things that really struck me. One was that they are now producing almost 4 million drones a year. No other country in the world comes even close to that. Now, these aren't all large drones. These are economical. They're built in garages. But that's innovation in action. And the other thing she mentioned, that there was now 1,000 small to medium-sized businesses across Ukraine that didn't exist before the invasion. So just take those two things and stitch them together and think what we can do with Canada, Kellyan Ventures, partners, not just Kellyan Ventures by itself, to build that capacity so that at some point in the future, none of us will have to be afraid that we can defend ourselves and certainly defend the Arctic. And I'll leave you just a thought that comes to mind, and it's a powerful way of imagining this, is that we either lead now collectively or we will react to crisis later individually. And so I think that's one of the principles that drives Kellyan Ventures.
Well, thank you, Chris, so much for joining us here today.
Thank you very much for the time. Really nice to talk with you.
You too.
You've been listening to the latest in the CDR podcast series. They are produced by Canadian Defence Review, Canada's leading defence magazine. To hear more CDR podcasts, go to CanadianDefenceReview.com or find us on iTunes and Google Play under CDR Radio. I'm James Careless. Tune in next time for another defence-focused podcast from Canadian Defence Review.